Hey everyone, this is Isaac Maddox, and I'm the pastor of Activate Church, and this is our podcast. Remember, you can subscribe to our podcast and subscribe to our YouTube channel. Follow us on Facebook and Instagram. I hope this message blesses you, encourages you, builds your faith, and I hope you enjoy the message.
Yeah. This again for 20 minutes. We got to preach the word. Come on, get your Bible, say hi to somebody, throw someone a high five, quick thumb wrestle, or not. Come on, can we thank the worship team for leading us in worship? This is the real Christians right here. First service after daylight savings. It's not Easter or Christmas. It's daylight savings first service. That's when you know who's with you. And everybody tune in. I forgot we're live on. Thank you for tuning in. And you are also hardcore if you're tuning in and watching this. And I came in here, nobody was in here, about 9 o'clock. I'm like, what is happening? Did we get a new order from the governor and things are shut down? And I said, oh, it's daylight saving. I slept like a baby last night. It was great. I usually don't. I usually, you know, that pressure of like, I need to go to sleep because it's not 10:49, it's 11:49. Because that works. I need some sleeping pills. Amen. I'm just kidding. I'm good. All right. Come on. So good to be in church. Thank you for coming. Seriously, thank you for being here. And I know everyone is in a different place all over this city, all over church. And we're here preaching the gospel, and we're experiencing incredible things. And thank you for being a part of church. Thank you for adding your faith, and thank you for giving, and thank you for praying, and thank you for believing. And we're going to have an incredible Easter. Amen. Easter's a couple weeks away. So get your invite on and get ready to bring some people into the house of God. And then Warrior Princess. Ladies, you do not want to miss Warrior Princess. It's going to sell out because other people from other churches want to come hear Havilah. Havilah is worldwide. You do not want to miss it. Get your girlfriends, get your moms and your sisters, and sign up. Get your tickets. And men, we're also looking for a few good men to serve. So if you want to come in here, sneak in here, and get some word. I'll always serve at women's events, amen, especially when I was single. It's just a little bit of wisdom. It's just a little bit of practical wisdom, okay? Serve in the house of the Lord, amen. Worship like this. Amen. One eye on him, one eye on them. Amen. That's theology right there. Okay, I felt an old youth pastor anointing come on me. All right, let's go to the, I have a one-hit wonder this morning. Is that cool? Just kind of a one and done, even though I felt as I was studying, I felt the series kind of come on me, and I had to shake the spirit, had to resist the spirit. I'm joking. I just want to do one thing. I really feel like God gave me this word. Okay, I really do. I don't say that lightly. I think the Word of God is always good. That's what's cool is you can just crack it open and just go, pink. And it might not seem that spiritual, that Holy Spirit led, but God's Word is always good. It's always revealing Jesus. Even if you go to Leviticus and you're like, why am I in Leviticus? This is horrible. Just look for Jesus and you'll see Jesus. All right? He's in there. This is a revelation of Jesus Christ. Why am I in Luke? Amen. Let's go to John chapter 2. John chapter 2, and we're gonna speak this morning. Something happened to me just a couple weeks ago, and I really do feel like God just spoke to me. And so whether you're tuning in right now live, or I keep running into people that are tuning in. So if you get annoyed by me keep saying that, it's like, Isaac, I don't know if that many people are tuning in. You know, I thought that too, but there are lots of people that tune in and podcasts, and I'm like hundreds of people. You know, I still am like, babe, check those numbers. And I'm like, I think that's the algorithm's off. But people are connecting to church, connecting to our church, and even though it's been tough times, people are moving forward, even if it seems slow. Seasons always take longer than I wish they did. And sometimes the good seasons are over quicker than I wish they were. But we're still in it, but we're coming through. Amen. And we're better for it. And I believe every evil thing that's happened in the last year, God is going to use it for his good. And that's not just a good sermon. I really, really believe that. Let's get to the Word of God. John chapter 2. John chapter 2. If you have your Bibles, I'm still old school. I do both. I look on my phone. The app is awesome. Get the app. It's a great place to read your Bible, podcast, old messages, and it's just a great place to connect and also, you know, get the real book, the flip pages and underline. I think both are pretty cool. John chapter 2, we know this. This is the first miracle of Jesus. And John chapter 2, verse 1, it says, on the third day, there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. I love the Bible. Period. And the mother of Jesus was there. Now, both Jesus and his disciples were invited to the wedding. And when they ran out of wine, the mother of Jesus said to him, they have no wine. And Jesus said to her, woman, what does your concern have to do with me? Sorry, this is my sister. My hour has not yet come. It seems a little intense. That's probably why you're laughing. Woman? Yeah, it's an intense phrase. Jesus is nice. He's also intense. Anyways, his mother said to the servants, whatever he says, do you do it? So right there, we can deduct that the phrase is not as intense as we think it is. Because we take it as, woman, what's your concern have to do with me? Right? That's how I talk to Carrie at certain times of the day, right? Woman! Of course I don't. But we take it as like, and it's a complicated, I think, phrase. But we take it as no. But if she took it as no, then why would she go over to the servants and say, whatever he says, you do it? And if he was saying no, then why did he actually turn the water to wine? See, so there's a lot going on here. His mother said to the servants, whatever he says, you do it. Now there were set 6 water pots of stone, according to the manner of purification of the Jews, containing 20 or 30 gallons apiece. Jesus said to them, fill the water pots with water. And they filled them up to the brim. And he said to them, draw some out now and take it to the master of the feast. And they took it. When the master of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine and did not know where it came from, he did not know where the miracle had come from. But the servants who drawn the water knew. That's why you need to join kids team. Amen? So you'll know where the water came from. The master of the feast called the bridegroom. And he said to him, every man at the beginning sets out the good wine. And when the guests have well drunk, then the inferior. But you've kept the good wine until now. He turns some water to wine. And somehow scripture says in verse 11, this was the beginning of Jesus' signs that he did in Cana of Galilee and manifested his glory. It wasn't a dead person raised to life. It wasn't blind eyes. It was a food miracle. And this is how he manifested his glory. I'm going to enjoy some food this afternoon. I mean, and his disciples believed in him. Woo! All right. I need an hour, but I need to hurry up. Don't miss the miracle. I want to preach this morning on don't miss the miracle. I've preached out of this portion of scripture, the making of a miracle, miracles in motion. But man, today, don't miss the miracle. Amen? You ready for the word? Help me preach. Church is not a spectator sport. Amen? It's a full contact, interactive sport. So help me preach, and whatever your day is going, whatever your week is going, up, down, sideways, right here, right now, we have life-changing encounters with the Word of God. Amen? Wherever you're at, amen. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for today. We thank you for your Word. We just honor it. We look to it. It is everything. You are the Word, and we look to you. We ask you to come. Lord, fill our hearts, fill our minds, but just fill our past, our present, our future. Take over, Lord, this morning and give us your word. Let us see you like we've never seen you before. We just want to behold the glory and the wonder and the awesomeness of Jesus today. Lord, you truly are enough and you truly are all that it's all about. We love you so much. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 So I personally believe that me and my boys prayed in the last snowstorm. And so You're welcome or I'm sorry. Depends upon if you like snow. I just want you to know I repent. I am praying for full snow from here on out. So, son, that was a Freudian slip. I've always prayed for snow, but after this last snowstorm, I have been humbled. And so I'm now praying for full suns across the board. So anyways, just to let you know, my weather prayers are actually very powerful. And so hopefully we'll be seeing some more sun. So, but I was humbled. I prayed for the snow. The snow came. And the snow came. And I knew it was coming. And because my knee, I've got screws in my knee. They rebuilt my knee after a snow accident, skiing accident in Breckenridge, Colorado. Anyways, I could feel the storm coming in. And so I was prepping. Now, we live 15, 16 minutes up the road in Deep Washougal, where me and Carrie and I pretend to be homesteaders. If you've ever seen Homestead Rescue, Marty, who's got his shirt unbuttoned down to here, that's me. He's my spirit animal. I walk around like Marty on my land. But we're not off the grid. We're totally on the grid, but we just pretend to be off the grid. And I just sometimes bring out my chainsaw, and I have nothing to cut. I just turn it on. Amen. And, you know, we do homesteady things, even though we're completely on the grid. But it feels good to kind of pretend, you know. There's a hawk. Never mind, that's just a crow, you know. But I pretend. So I'm getting the homestead ready for the storm, right? So I'm talking homestead talk, and we're getting the gasoline for the generator, and we're stacking wood, even though there's plenty of wood stacked around the house. But we're getting ready for the big one. We're getting ready for the storm. So I was prepped. I was ready. The snow started coming, and it snowed. It snowed for 2 days, and it hit 19 degrees, and I started to get a little scared. Like, homesteading for me is like 31 degrees and 8 inches of snow, right? And we walk out there in our boots, and we're like, this is like 3 feet, you know? And yeah, so 2 feet actually came, and it hit 19 degrees and like stayed there, and I started to get a little scared, you know? I'm like, I'm not a homesteader. I'm not. I'm sorry, Lord. You know, we're moving back to the city. And so we're walking around and everything's kind of fun. And then I woke up Saturday morning and I went to turn the shower on and no water came out. And instantaneously, I started to panic. Legitimately. No, like really. Like I was under full panic. Like I'm laughing now, but I wasn't laughing then. I was scared. Speaking of wells, I paid $50,000 for this well, and there's no water. And I don't know a lot about wells, right? I'm a newbie homesteader, but I'm scared that something's broken, something's frozen. It's not a great feeling when your pipes are frozen. You go downstairs, and there's no water, and I'm just freaking out. And there's a lot of snow outside. So it took me like an hour just to like get out the front door down to the well, right? I'm just like, you know, repenting of all my homestead desires. And I'm like, I don't want to be a homesteader, Lord. And I'm like, you barely trudge through the snow. We don't have any space heaters, so we have like 2 hair dryers. So we're like digging up stuff, and I'm telling the boys to come out. And what was once fun for a second, for a day and a half, now became it not fun. It was no longer fun. The boys were working. We're sweating. We're nervous. We're trying to, you know, take a blow dryer to pipes. And I'm making phone calls to people, and I'm trying to figure out what to do. But the pipes are frozen. And it's amazing. It's amazing how stupid I felt. To be honest, I couldn't shake it. Usually I throw it like a little bit of a woe is me, you know, for like 5 minutes, 10 minutes. I can usually come out of it. I can usually, find my prayer moment and just come out of my little pity party. I couldn't get out of it. I literally could not get out of, we were having so much fun. If I would have just let the faucet drip, I would have been fine. How did I forget to keep the faucet on? I knew there was maybe, because we'd only been up there a couple years, a couple of pipes maybe from the well somewhere that weren't covered. And I knew it. Called my dad, my father-in-law. I was like, so you didn't let the pipes drip? Nope. Okay, yeah, I don't know how I forgot it. I don't know how I forgot to just go like this. It takes like literally a second.
bink, and then the faucet will drip. And so I'm sitting there, I'm digging out of snow, we're hours, we're not having fun, we're all a little freaked out, we're kind of stuck. Now our homestead doesn't have water, and if you know homestead, that's not good. And I'm scared, and I'm panicky, and it's amazing. Look like to someone else, it might not look like a problem to somebody else, but when it's a problem to you, it's a problem. You know when you, like, you get a cold? Some of my worst colds were common colds or like bronchitis. But like, I wish when you go to the doctor and like, why you been out of work for 2 weeks? You're like, a cold, right? You need to tell your boss, you know, I wish they had like something called like a cancer cold, you know? I have a cancer cold. Because that sounds like, ooh, that sounds really bad. Or strep throat. But when you don't have one of the biggies, but you're dying, you're like, I don't know. I don't get it. I have the shivers. I have the aches. And it's horrible. What do you have? But they don't know. They haven't identified it yet. It might be the common cold, you know? Like, you want one of those things that's like big, major, three trees fell on my house, and everybody like, ooh, okay. But your pipe's frozen? But man, for me, it was a big, big deal. I felt stupid. I couldn't shake it. And when I look at the miracle of Jesus, the first miracle, I mean, this is not a real problem. I mean, does your heart break when you read John 2? Oh, they ran out of wine. I mean, it's not like your heartstrings are like, just, oh, I hope, if you've never read it, is Jesus going to do something? I hope Jesus steps into action. You could probably care less. Like, whether they have wine or no wine, you should probably stop drinking anyways. Be honest, some even read like, I wish Jesus wouldn't have turned the water to wine. Little alcoholics. But what, he's like it's not a big deal, but somehow Jesus' first miracle was performed or happened over something that does not appear to you and I to be a big deal. But for them, it was a big deal. If it's a big deal to you this morning, it's a big deal to God. Some of you needed to come to church or tune in just for that. That your theology needs an upgrade in the sense of who God is and what the Bible is and what God cares about. He cares about frozen pipes and flat tires and feelings and hairs on your head. He doesn't just know how many hairs you had. He's numbered them. That's how concerned he is. That's how much he cares. Like, he cares. He cares. His first miracle is over an insignificant, what we might even call an abundance thing. Kind of a not needed thing, something that's an extra pleasure, a wedding, wine. It's not needed, but that's the God that's the God you serve. That's the miracle of the first miracle of Jesus. It's a miracle that's not really needed. It's not really needed. Is that our problem with God this morning in faith? We are calculating what's needed and what's not needed, what I need to carry and what he should carry. What we just try to divvy up, and without knowing it, we start playing God. And Jesus' mom was there. Now, this might be an early Mother's Day gift, or I don't know, but this has almost turned into another Mother's Day message. But Jesus' mom kickstarted Jesus' ministry. Jesus' mom is there. You might want to be getting all the moms out of your life, but I just need to tell you this morning that moms aren't going anywhere. Moms are going to mom. And I don't care if you're 90 years old and your mom is still alive. Like, moms are gonna mom. Can I get an amen? But before you go, like, I wish moms would stop momming. You know, when you don't have a mom or you moved to Australia like us away from your moms, you kind of miss a little bit of that. How do I put this nice? It's not nagging, amen? It's not nagging, but it's stating the obvious all the time, amen? There's an anointing that moms have. Right? Drive safe. Thank you. Because I was about to drive nuts until you said that, right? Hey, make sure you do your homework. Oh, I was not even going to do anything when I went to college. Like, hey, be nice. I remember our first date. Be nice to the girl. You know, it's like, what was I going to do? Like, punch her until your mom says be nice, right? So moms have an anointing to state the obvious. And it can seem naggy. It can seem nitpicky. But again, moms... Jesus' mom kickstarted Jesus' ministry. Jesus' mom did. Jesus didn't go, you know what? I'm going to do something big today. Yeah, this is my day. There's something special about today. No, Jesus' mom said, hey, they don't have any wine. Jesus probably knew it. Jesus' mom stating the obvious about a situation to Jesus kickstarted Jesus' ministry. Maybe there is something in your life that's hiding in the most obvious thing, and someone like a mom, a dad, a parent, someone that's gone before you is simply pointing out the fact that, yeah, it's a small thing, so why don't you just do it? Instead of proving the opposite point, which is it's small, it's not a big deal, why don't you just take it from a mom and say, you know what? She's pointing out the fact that you are anointed to solve this problem. Instead of being annoyed by it, why don't you realize how big you are and how little it is, and you might be anointed to solve that very problem. The problem is we look at these little problems that come through our moms that we have familiarity with, and we go, yeah, I know. But oftentimes, the miracle is in the obvious. The miracle is in something that is so practical that it feels like it's so nitpicky. It's just a mom tapping you on the shoulder, telling you to wear clean underwear and get to church and be nice and drive safe. But maybe there's a revelation of that that kickstarted Jesus' ministry about, hey, you know what? Maybe just forgive and love, get to church, read your Bible, grind and rewind. Get to church, read your Bible, forgive, love, stay unoffendable, extend kindness and mercy. Get to church, join a small group, and be nice to people, and tithe, and worship, and lift your hands, and dance, and grind and rewind, and forgive, and love, and pray, and put a smile on, and read your Bible. But we often are like, nah. We know. But a mom kickstarted the ministry of Jesus, stating the obvious. A mom telling Jesus they have no wine, and Jesus is like, yeah, I know. Kickstarts the ministry of Jesus Christ. The voice of parents, people who have gone before us, Jesus honoring that is what kickstarted his ministry. Jesus' mom, someone who'd gone before him, that had birthed what he was about, you cannot be who you are without honoring the people who have gone before you. And you do not honor because they're perfect. No, you honor because you are a person of honor, and all the people of honor said amen. You've got Jesus' mom, you've got Jesus, and you've got his disciples. You will never have disciples until you learn how to honor authority or honor parents, honor thy father and thy mother, and your days will be long. Why? Because that is the kingdom of God. You honor those who have gone before you. It's easy for us to nitpick the churches we grew up in and the businesses we were around and say, man, they're horrible. And you know what? They have learned and they have grown, and no one said they were perfect anyways. But without them, you wouldn't be here. So before we get critical about everything that came before us, maybe we ought to honor it before we nitpick it, because it was Jesus honoring his mom that brought him to the forefront of his ministry. So before you become self-appointedly awesome and say, God has called me, maybe we ought to honor the moms and the dads and the people that have carried the weight through the 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, before we stand in 2021 and proclaim how awesome we are. I need to learn to honor those that have gone before me, because there might be something there that I don't know of their journey. And all the young people say, I feel like this is a youth pastor anointing. I feel like youth are watching this all over the world. I see you. I feel you. Mom kicks, I could preach this all day. It might feel nitpicky, but maybe they're pointing out an opportunity. Maybe God's trying to get a hold of you through a mom, through a dad, through a friend. Hey, you really need to just get on time. You really just need to get a new suit. You really need to send that email. Something that seems big is small. It just seems big. But God wants you to know the reason it seems picky is because it's just a small thing. So get on with it. Get on with it. There might be something your wife or your husband is just, could you, and you're just like, bah! For years you're arguing that's not a big deal, and they shouldn't even want that. Mom, you shouldn't even want that. It's not even a big deal. Jesus doesn't say no, because he hears his mom's prayer. He actually answers the prayer. He actually turns the water to wine. Quit reading this verse as if he's like, no. Fine. No. No. We don't even realize that this is the way Jesus rolls. Do you notice that Jesus always asks questions? That this is just a question? And without knowing it, Jesus just went into ministry. What does your concern have to do with me? Who do people say that I am? Do you want to be healed?
What do you want?
This is classic Jesus. This is vintage Jesus. He asks questions, and when the answer asks questions, it's not for him, it's for you. He's trying to generate some faith and cause you to think. So without knowing it, his mom just kickstarted his ministry. He went into ministry at the same moment. It says, what does your concern have to do with me? And the answer is everything, because he answers her prayer. He answers her prayer.
What does your concern have to do with me?
Everything.
I gotta get back to the parent thing. Some of us need to get back into parenting. Because the young people and the kids around us need a mom, need a dad, but we would rather be their friends. And so I hear all the time, well, you know, I told them not to do that. But are you still telling them not to do that? Well, no, I don't want to nag them. Nag them! Step back into their life. We need some parents that are secure enough to be ridiculed by young people who don't want to go to youth group. We used to have these long skateboard haircuts. It's time for youth. Oh. Whatever. We need some parents, I'll stop doing that, that can stand and go, no, you're going to youth group. You're going to youth group. Yep, you're going to youth group. Yeah, just because we're reacting to a generation that might have been whatever that you grew up around that you might think is slightly legalistic and religious, and now you want to be cool parent. Yeah, but have you become such a cool parent that you're not even a parent? You're a buddy? They don't need a buddy. They need a mom, a dad, someone to say, I love you. I'll fight for you. I'm here. I'm not going anywhere. No matter what you do or what you say, I'm standing with you. Listen. Do you know those scriptures? You got to have a scripture for your behavior. Because if you're going to walk away from someone because of what they said, the Bible says if someone asks me to go 7 miles, I don't send them a verse that says, good luck, Godspeed. It says, walk with them. It says, walk with them. But we got too many parents acting like peers with their kids. Some of you came for church just for that, and some of you are at home just for that. I'm the parent. I didn't get to choose my kids, and they didn't get to choose you. So get over it, get a scripture, and walk in their life and walk with them. You're not getting rid of me. They're not getting rid of me. Hey, Jesus, they don't have any wine. Hey, kids. Get to church. I don't care if you tell your kids 1,000 times and they're 90 and they've never been into the doors of a church. You tell them to be in church. I feel an old school Southern Baptist anointing. Turn up the heat and bring out the fans, because I feel an old school anointing. My goodness, it's not 10-11. First miracle of Jesus, ministry of Jesus, got kickstarted by his mom. But thank goodness for the nitpicky parents, because it's the same person who stood there at the cross with him. The people who nitpick you the most love you the most. Not always. There's haters. There's weirdos. I get it. We'll get to that. But oftentimes, the people who love you the most to stand and tell you what you need to say. Your breath is bad, man. You need to brush your teeth. It's bad. Dude, you're always late. Get on time. You don't know how to write an email. You need to learn how to write an email. I write an email however I want. I remember someone told me, you need to learn how to write an email. I'm like, no, I don't. I'm a creative person. Like, your emails are horrible. You need to learn to write an email. Just get on with it. Just get out. Some of those people love you the most, and they will stand with you while people are crucifying you. Only John and Jesus' mom were with him at the cross. Man, I could preach this. I feel so anointed for this parental thing. Jesus kickstarts his ministry. His mom kickstarted it, and we miss it. What does your concern have to do with me? He's doing his thing. Do you want to be made well? Disciples, who do men say that I am? Who do you say that I am? See, he's engaging. Jesus is his mom just kickstarted it. Jesus' mom, you've been anointed to solve problems. Thank you, Jesus. I got to learn. Thank you for pointing that out. If you're so awesome at 18, then learn this phrase. Next time someone tells you what to do, thank you for pointing that out. Instead of, let's go to the mattresses.
I'm right, and I'm awesome, and I'm amazing, and I have prophecies to prove it.
Okay, if that's all that true, then you'll say, thank you for pointing that out. If you're so big, then you can handle something small being pointed out, right? But if you're this big, you're a mosquito in the faith, then you gotta, hey, no, listen, don't point that out. I'm amazing. I'm awesome. You know what I did at this other church? Yeah, no one cares, bud. No one really cares. Thank you for pointing that out. I feel such a teaching, counseling, anointing here this morning. Jesus' mom. But here's where the rubber meets the road. This is cool. So Jesus' mom says, so they have no wine. They have no wine. And then Jesus flips us around because he's the master teacher and says, what does your concern have to do with me? He doesn't say, what does their concern have to do with me? He goes, what does your... So if you want to know the difference between... I wish I had another hour on this point. If you want to know the difference between control and concern, control is controlling something you can't control. You can't control them. So control is when you go to people and you say, hey, sweetie, yeah, so everybody thinks you're crazy. I don't, but the family does. So you'll hear it from now on. You'll know when people come to you and they'll say, they, honestly, like everybody thinks the choir's clicky. Do you? No, I don't. I think it's amazing. Oh, my gosh. But like a lot of people think it's really clicky. So what Jesus goes is he goes, what? Okay. So if it's control, you're going to be always talking about them. But this was not control. This was a legitimate concern because the Son of God, the Word incarnate, says, what does your concern? So all you can do is worry about you, right? You can't control everybody. You can't manipulate people. All you can do is control you. So when you know that you have gone from control, I'm going to let it go, to concern, it means you've taken responsibility for your opinion and your feelings, and now you're going to people who matter and bring about change. So when I go to my wife and I say, babe, I think this is what you're dealing with. Do you really? Yep. I can't go, well, your dad, well, you know, your friends, well, even you. And we use people's information from their testimony against them. Well, you told me that you're insecure, and so now I'm just here to help you with it. No. When you go to someone, you got to bring what you're really feeling at that moment and own it and go toe-to-toe in connection in that relationship. Don't use control. Don't use them. Don't use their past. You stand there as someone that loves them, and that's what Mary did with Jesus. She goes, they have a problem, but their problem has become my problem, and now I'm going to you, Jesus, saying, this is my concern now. And Jesus said, what does your concern have to do with me? And Jesus then says, everything, because he answers her prayer by what he does. Mary wasn't controlling. Oh, they have no wine. Well, what does their concern have to do with me? I don't know. I'm just saying. You're like Jesus, and you could do something if you want. Manipulation. And if you don't do something, maybe people won't follow you. Fear. So there you stand as a Christian for 40 years, manipulating, fearing, controlling, and you call it, I'm just concerned. No, you're not. You're a manipulative, controlling, insecure person full of fear. And Jesus just says today, break it. That's not, no. That's not your concern. That's your control. You're trying to control everybody by pinning everybody against each other. Just stand in that conversation and own it. Just own it. You know one of the hardest words, honestly, is you hurt me. Especially as men, because we're like, especially me, I'm like a big man's man, right? I'm like the men of all men. Right? I'm like Goliath and David mixed up together with Brad Pitt and a man. Right? I'm like, ah! Babe, what hurt you? Nothing, I'm fine. It's so difficult to stand there and be like, yeah, when I went to kiss you on the lips last night and you gave me cheek, I got hurt. It's so hard to be honest. I called the Joy Sound team. I didn't get called back. Own it. It's okay. There's something so freeing about that. You don't have to. The people that are like, so good, just love this church, it's amazing. No, you're lying to yourself and you're lying to people. It's okay, people can handle it. Yeah, email, didn't get email back, but you know what? I let it go. I'm cool. I want to connect. You're keeping it current. You're keeping it full of grace and forgiveness and honesty. What does your concern have to do with me? Everything. Everything. Human concern kickstarted the ministry of Jesus.
Not Jesus say, okay, what am I going to do? I'm at a wedding. Let's go. It's rock and roll. Kingdom come. No, it was human concern. It was wine. It was like a knee. It was a nothing. Human concern kickstarted the ministry of Jesus. Small, insignificant concern, in my opinion. Wow. You can move the hand of God this morning. You can move the hand of God. I don't think we talk about it enough. We could sit here. We could sit here and maybe be on thin ice theologically. Maybe we need Nathan to come back and clean this up. He's sovereign, but he wouldn't have put in his word that you can ask and receive if there wasn't something about our free choice and our faith and our prayer. Yeah, the fact that you do pray with your kids during dinner time matters. You know, we react, don't we? I took out dinner prayer time because I'm like, well, the food's blessed and I'm blessed. We're all blessed. But I'm like, it's coming back. Dinner time prayer is reappeared. Why? Because there's something about setting the atmosphere. What you do in your family and what you don't do matters. I think the enemy would love for you us to think that what we do doesn't matter and we're just puppets by the master. Just everything is God. When I don't pray, that's God. When I don't go to church, that's God. Some of you are praying too much about everything, living by your feelings. When you need to go to the Word of God and find out what He has already said, and just base your life on it, and you'll start to see things change. You can move the hand of God. Abraham did. Now, we can talk about the anthropomorphic ways of trying to understand. It's the theological word for trying to understand God. God doesn't change his mind. So when Abraham said, no, save Sodom. If there's a couple righteous people, and God changes his mind and says, okay, Abraham. And Moses did the same thing. No, don't kill the people. And God changes his mind. God can't change his mind. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Because he's outside of time. He's eternal. But within time, your free choice, your decisions, your text messages, what you do with your resource, your time, your prayer, your worship, your attitude to forgive, it matters. David moved the hand of God. If it doesn't matter, why are there verses about ask, seek, knock, intercede, prayer, the remnant, preaching the gospel, free choice in faith matters. And some of you came to church just to hear this. God wants to activate your faith to say, I choose today. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. When I pray with my kids, it matters. When I forgive you, it matters. When I preach, it matters. When I give my testimony, it matters. It matters. It matters. The devil is a liar. When you forgive, it matters. It matters. David moved God. David moved God with his worship, with his prayer. He moved God. I believe that Mary showed up and said, Jesus, they need some wine. And I'm coming to you as your mom saying, would you make some wine? And Jesus starts to ask questions and say, what's your concern have to do with me? But he shows it has everything to do with him. Mary, she prays. And then she tells the servants, whatever he says, you do it. I wake up. I pray. Then I send my email. She goes to the servants, whatever he says, you do it. You pray and you go into action. I pray and I send the text. I pray and I send the email. I pray and then I come to work. I pray and then I write that check. I pray and then I come to church. You pray, then you go into action. All right, sit down. I have a few more points. Sorry. All right, let's get to the point here. So Jesus says to fill the water pots with water. They fill it up. Check this out. This is how it goes down. No one knows the miracle but the servants. Okay? So they take the wine over to the master of the feast. The master of the feast takes a sip. He's like, wow, that is amazing wine. Now, Master of the Feast is in charge of the wine. So he's probably already feeling really stupid because he mismanaged the wine. Now he brings over the bridegroom. Maybe the other person responsible for there not being enough wine. So these two cats are responsible for the mismanagement or misstewardship of the wedding. Maybe the bridegroom invited too many people. Who brought Jesus and these extra, you know, I don't, who are these guys? They're not part of the family. Maybe the bridegroom was trying to get in with some of the new, you know, rabbi. Who knows? There was either not enough wine bought or too many people brought. So the master of the feast brings over the bridegroom. He's like, do you gotta take a sip? They're both feeling, because somehow Mary found out. So the buzz around the wedding that there wasn't enough wine started to get out. Now these weddings would last for sometimes a week. It's not a big deal, right? It's an insignificant moment. It doesn't matter. So the master of the feast says, you gotta taste this wine. And the master of the feast says, that is like, nobody does this. And he gives him credit. He says, you sneaky dog. And just imagine being the bridegroom, right? You know there's not enough wine. It's kind of your fault. It's kind of the master. You know, sometimes you're like, babe, did you pay the bill? How do we get in that again? The couch? No, hold on. We drank a lot of Starbucks. Right? If you ever get in that moment where it's like, no. This is the master of the feast and the bridegroom going. Then the master of the feast just assumes something happened. He doesn't know what happened, but he gives the bridegroom credit. And he goes, you sneaky little dog. Yeah. Everybody puts out the best in the beginning, and then they wait and put the worst out. You. He gives the bridegroom credit for the miracle. He says, you get all sneaky, sly like a fox. There was a problem, and you were just keeping the best wine for last. And I would love to know what the bridegroom did at that moment. You're welcome. That's the way I roll. Welcome to the family. It wasn't his to take credit for. We don't know his response because we don't know if he missed the miracle. We don't know if he sat there in shame for the mistake he had made or he sipped the miracle. We don't know if he sat in shame or sipped the miracle. We don't know if he sat in shame and missed the miracle or let go of the mistake and enjoyed the miracle. See, God told me, Isaac, don't miss the miracle. But my pipes are frozen. I made a stupid mistake. Don't miss the miracle. Don't miss the miracle. Don't miss the miracle. Because oftentimes when we can't let go of our shame, we can't sip the miracle. Yeah, but I shouldn't be in this situation. I shouldn't have done what I did. I shouldn't have done a stupid mistake. I should have left the faucet on. I should have left. I should have bought another 100 cases of wine. So the shame of the decision and the shame of the mistake keeps us from enjoying even when the miracle happens, because the shame doesn't allow you to enjoy the sip of what happened. The Bible said you don't need to know where the miracle happened. You don't need to know it. God will surround you with miracles all the time. The miracle is in motion. He is working, but the shame and the guilt of our mistakes keeps us from enjoying the miracle. And what we do is we go, this is a shame word. You drink, you're like, yo, I'm master of the feast. This is really good wine. And you're knowing in your head, I didn't have anything to do with this. And so the shame tells you, and you continually say this, well, we made it. Okay, we made it. So your whole life is just one mistake to, we made it. Pay the bills again this month. Came to church, well, we made it. Driving home. We made it. Get to work. Every week is a one big made it. God doesn't want you just to make it. He wants you to let go of your shame. He wants you to let go of the mistake. He wants you to let go of the thing you should have done better. He wants you to let go of the thing you keep beating yourself up for, and says the miracle is in motion, and I don't want you to miss the miracle. Let go of the shame. Let go of the bad decision. Let go that you didn't buy enough. enough wine. Let go of you didn't keep the faucet on. Let go of how you raised your kids. Let go of what you did in high school. You got to let go because the shame is keeping you from sipping the miracle. You got to let it go. He said, Isaac, I felt this. He was literally, God was literally saying, you're going to miss the miracle. You're going to miss the miracle by the shame of a decision you made or didn't make over a faucet. You're going to miss the miracle of the game you're going to play with your kids tonight. We had one of the best sledding moments of our life. The moment I let go of feeling like an idiot as being a homesteader and not keeping my faucet on, I had to let it go and say, I'm not going to miss the miracle. I had Ben Andrew and Ryan Cathcart show up. They texted me. They said, send us your Costco list. And I was like the whole Costco list? And Carrie's like, don't send it. It's big. And I was like, I think he wants the Costco list. And so we sent the Costco list. But Ben, in the goodness of God, bought twice as much as we even asked for. He got in his big truck. They came up. We had 2 feet of snow. And these guys, they started unloading water and food. And God began to say, if you didn't let go of your shame, you would have missed the miracle of your friends and your church and your family and what I'm doing in your life right now. You gotta let go of the shame because you're about to miss the miracle. Don't miss the miracle. Let it go. So Jesus cares about when you do this. That's what it says. So that means he basically, if he cares about nothing, like he cares about you sitting down in your chair today, he cares about what you care about today. He cares about your boss. He cares about that situation. He cares about that relationship. And he said, a miracle is in motion. I'm unthawing your pipes. I'm sending friends. I'm sending resource. I'm blessing your family. I'm doing something that you don't even know. A miracle is on the way, but don't miss it.
I can hear the rain in the heavens. really felt like we're supposed to get on to our next series, but man, I just want you to know, I felt about 8 messages in here, and so if I was intense about anything, forgive me. I just wanted to give you some of the most spiritual and some of the most practical and some of the most simplistic things that God spoke to me over a 2-day period during a snowstorm where I couldn't let go of my shame over a faucet. And he said, don't miss the miracle. And I didn't want to let go because I wanted to go into action. It doesn't mean that next time I won't be more prepared. I won't have my checklist. Keep faucet on, okay? The older you get, you need checklists, amen? But it does mean in this moment, he said, I got miracles coming. And you can either sit there and sip your shame, or you can sip the miracle that I'm doing in your life. And guess what? You don't even have to know where it came from. Jesus said, just, it's a miracle. How many miracles have I sipped in shame, not even understanding? You're here. You're a miracle. You don't even understand all the miracles that God has done in your life. He just says, I care, and I want you to sip. Maybe this morning you don't know Jesus, but right now you see Jesus, and you believe. Take this moment and sip of the miracle that is the life of Jesus Christ. He died for you. He went to the cross for you. He loves you. You might not understand the fullness of the miracle that is salvation, but all you have to do this morning is just take a drink and just receive it and say, Jesus, I believe in you. Thank you for dying on the cross for me and forgiving me of my sin and my shame and my guilt. You know, part of me wants to save this message for Easter, but here we have, you know, daylight savings, 9 o'clock service. I don't understand it, but I know it was for you. I know it was for you. I know maybe share this message, send it to somebody, but more importantly, don't walk another day with the shame of your past and the guilt. God understands that you didn't order enough wine and you're an idiot and you're a mismanager of things. God says, you'll learn, you'll grow, but for right now, can you just forgive yourself and enjoy the miracle I'm about to do? Let go of the shame. Let it go. Let it go. It's one of the hardest things to do is to forgive yourself for doing something that you should have known to do. And that's the best thing. How come you didn't turn your faucet on? Because I'm dumb. You know, I don't know. Like, why do we sometimes enjoy the miracle? Enjoy the miracle. Enjoy the miracle. You don't want to miss next week. My wife is preaching. She's bringing the word. Invite everybody you know. Get to church next Sunday. She's got a word, I believe. It's going to get us ready for Easter and Warrior Princess and coming through the spring out of COVID-19 and 2020. The best wine remains to be drunk in the kingdom in Jesus' name. Amen. He saves the best for last and gives you credit for it. Is there anything that's more gospel? My righteousness is not mine. My marriage is not mine. My family's not mine. It was all given to me. Just like the bridegroom got credit for the miracle, God wants to give you the kingdom, and he wants to give it as if it was yours. That's the gospel. Amen. If you need some prayer, come on up here. We'd love to pray with you. We'll see you next Sunday.